The conference finals matchups are set and underway. We'll go over Game 7 between the Rangers and Hurricanes, preview the conference finals matchups, Tampa going on the road, actually, and every round has kind of gotten easier, and the Flames collapse, and a lot more. All that coming up here on episode 135 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Wednesday, June the 1st. I know it's a day later than when we normally do this, but thank you. Pretty busy yesterday, and just I couldn't get around to doing the podcast, so a day later, but more content to get to. Episode 135. Go follow along on Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. The conference finals matchups are set and already underway. We'll do a quick chat about Game 1 between the Avalanche and the Oilers. The Rangers, Game 7 victory over Carolina. And what happened? The Flames collapse, or maybe an Oilers win? I don't know. And Tampa's road to the playoffs, which is funny because they start on the road in every series, but it's gotten easier every round. I'll explain why in just a little bit. Where do I want to start? I want to start Rangers and Carolina Game 7. Rangers take Game 7 in Carolina, breaking the Homer Series drought. And they are on to start the conference finals at home against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Here tonight is pass deflected. Still whistled wide by Zibanejad. Fox will try Zibanejad again, and a goal tipped in by Kreider. Another power play goal for New York and a 2-0 lead 8 minutes in.
Nothing seemed to faze the Rangers in this game. Not a multi-game series deficit or go win in a building that no other road team has done so far. And because of that, they are off to the Eastern Conference Finals. A huge Game 7 win and their second straight Game 7 win. Strong performance from Igor Shesterkin. He was spectacular. Chris Kreider had a couple goals in the game. 6-2 over Carolina. Listen, I was watching this game. I had a chance to watch really the first half of it. And I heard from a couple different podcasts as well about the tempo of the game in Carolina not keeping up. I don't think that's true at all. I think actually Carolina and New York, first of all, the tempo of play in this series, specifically in Game 7, was as high as I have seen in a playoff series so far. And I mean tempo of play, but good hockey, not sloppy, not big mistakes. I mean, like, it was high octane from Edmonton and Calgary, and we'll talk about that. But there was a lot of really ugly goals that took place, a lot of really sloppy defense. And this one, it's beautiful deflections in front, capitalizing on very, very minor errors in this one. And New York came out flying, and really, in a game that mattered most in Carolina, this was really a game, specifically at home, where they missed a starting goaltender. And Antti Raanta was spectacular in these playoffs as a backup coming in and doing the job that he did. But this is where you wanted a starter. This is where you wanted your Frederik Andersen. And listen, Freddie Andersen is up for a Vezina nomination this year. Igor Shesterkin's going to win the award. But Freddie going from Toronto and kind of being moved out in favor of Jack Campbell to on a very good defensive team, putting up great numbers and being a Vezina candidate this season. But let's face it, this is now the second straight year that he's been injured in the postseason or prior to the postseason and not made available to his team. That's one of the reasons why he didn't re-sign in Toronto. Because, well, one, Jack Campbell pushed him out because he was unbelievable. But two, almost every year in Toronto in that five-year contract, he was hurt. At some point, he was hurt. And Toronto's like, no, we're not going to do that. In Carolina, listen, you got the Vezina caliber, but when you needed your starting goaltender, the guy you signed to a two-year, $9 million deal, he was sitting in the press box on his phone, unable to do anything. And this game, you needed your starting goaltender. And the Rangers with a couple quick goals, and I don't fault Raanta, especially for the Kreider tip between the legs in front of the net, but then Raanta gets injured afterwards, and in goes your third-string goaltender at that point. You know, the moment the puck goes in the back of the net, the entire Carolina bench just deflates. And I said, as long as Carolina stayed at home, You know, when they kept winning at home, it was fine. But as they got further and further in the playoffs, you were going to play better teams, teams that were capable of winning a game on the road. Round one against Boston, Boston couldn't beat them at home. They couldn't do it. Boston took care of their business at home, but then they went in Carolina, and Carolina was just a completely different team. And this series, for the most part, was the same way. But then you go into a game seven, winner take all. You normally lean on the team that's got the better goaltender, and you've got the Vezina, probably winner this year, and Igor Shesterkin against the 1B option in Carolina, who's been very good, but not Shesterkin level. And Shesterkin made a couple 10 bell saves in this one early too, when this game could have gone either way. He was the difference maker. He'd have made a huge save in the slot. I think it was on either Svechnikov or Aho or whoever it was that he got his pad out on a cross crease pass. And, you know, that was just a sign of this dude was locked in. He was zoned in. And I Carolina, at some point, you were going to lose at home. Carolina was not going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and going 16-0 at home. It wasn't happening. Either one, they were going to play a team maybe like Colorado if they get to the finals, or a team like the Rangers, and if they made it, probably Tampa wins a game on the road. And it just happened to be the Rangers in Game 7. For the Rangers, you know, a lot of people, they conned back and forth a bunch of times with Pittsburgh, managed to win that one out. Back and forth with Carolina, multi-goal, multi-game deficits in series, came back and won this series. Now, amazingly enough, because they finished second in the division and they had one more regular season win than Tampa, they had 52, Tampa had 51, the Rangers started home game one against Tampa Bay on the road. Here's my concern. This will be just the second game in the playoffs that the Rangers will face a starting goaltender. Think about it. Round one against Pittsburgh, they faced Casey DeSmith in six of the seven games. The only game they faced a starting goaltender in was Tristan Jarry game seven. He was still hurt, and they showed him after the game in a walking boot because he was not 100%. The series against Carolina. Again, I'm not knocking Ranta, but maybe that's a different series with Frederik Andersen. Who knows? But you need a starting goaltender in net. The Rangers have played 14 playoff games. One of them has been with the team's regular starting goaltender. You went from that to arguably the best goaltender on the planet. Now, it helps that you've got the other one in Igor Shesterkin, who's probably going to win the Vezina, but Vasilevsky has the playoff numbers to back him, and if you're telling me to pick between one of the two, I'm going with the guy who's the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. I believe he is a Conn Smythe winner. If not, he was deserving in both years. Oh, and by the way, in the seven latest series clinching games, he's given up a goal to a top-five scoring team in Toronto. That's it. Florida, nada. Stanley Cup clinching games, nada. It's funny, isn't it? I'm going a whole different route here. I'm going based off of how I'm feeling in this. I'm kind of vibing here. But it's funny. Tampa Bay in round one got Toronto. And at one point, Tampa Bay was down 3-2 in that series and on the verge of having their streak snapped. They managed to come back and win, but man, were they pushed by the Leafs. They made Vasilevsky human. He was giving up 3, 4, 5 goals in game one. And even in the series clinching game, Toronto had a goal called back to Tavares and then scored 5 minutes later, Morgan Rielly. They were beating him. Florida, impeccable. And now you play the Rangers, who have continuously surprised, don't get me wrong. But this isn't Carolina with Antti Raanta. This is Tampa Bay. This is Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, and Vasilevsky. Is it weird to say that so far in the playoffs, Tampa Bay's games and series have gotten easier as they've gone on? I mean, like I mentioned, Toronto pushed him to 7. They had a 3-2 lead. They were giving up 3 goals, 4 goals a game. But they find a way to come through. Then they get the President's Trophy winners. Laid an egg. 3 goals in 4 games from Florida. Gone. Bounced. And then again, the Rangers, who, yeah, they've beaten Pittsburgh and Carolina, but they faced Antti Raanta and Casey DeSmith in net. I'm not trying to take away anything from the Rangers and what they've done. Look, you made the conference finals. You are one of the top 4 remaining teams in the entire National Hockey League. You can't control who you play. You play who you have in front of you. The same thing with Edmonton. I said it. I'm like, listen, like they got the Kings in the first round. Well, it's not their fault they got the Kings. I think this is, though, going to be a real test, though, for the Rangers. I want to see how New York responds here. Because Tampa Bay is not like any team. There will be no homer series with Tampa Bay involved. They will win a game on the road. They will win games at home. It is a matter of trying to match them shot for shot, blow for blow. If Tampa takes game one on the road, New York has to find a way to split the series and go back to Tampa and try to reciprocate what Tampa did to them. And Tampa, by the way, tons of time off, getting healthier. I'm assuming Braden Point's going to be back at some point during the series. And that's an X factor. That's an X factor right there. That's a very forgotten thing. Tampa swept Florida without Braden Point. And for everybody saying, well, Tampa's been off for 10 days, they're going to be rusty. No, they're not. This is now their third consecutive deep run into the postseason. They utilize any time off they can get because they have been grinding since their playoff run 2 years ago in the bubble when they won it. Then they grinded last year. They've also got new players on their team who have never experienced this. They don't have Yanni Gourde. Ross Colton was only part of one run. Corey Perry made the run last year but was on the losing end. Oh, and Nick Paul is getting his first taste of the third round. Kucherov's a vet, Stammer's a vet, Point's a vet, Hedman's a vet, Sergachev, McDonough, Vasilevsky. They all know how to take care here. But they've got enough exuberance in their team to push and say, we've never been here, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And the other guys know exactly what to do in their time off. Tampa Bay will be fine. Game one, I'm excited to see what that one's going to be. All right, let's move on here. Before we do get into the Flames series, I do want to quickly talk about game one last night, Colorado-Edmonton. You know, a buddy of mine, Nelson, he bet Colorado in the over. I'm like, it's a high over. But I was with him. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, I like the over, too, in like a 5-3 game. The over was 7. Got a text from him. The over is a push 3 minutes into the second period. Colorado then explodes at 6-3, and then the game finishes 8-6 Colorado. A goal off the 9-6 game one between Calgary and Edmonton. Why do I think this series is different? One, when Edmonton is getting their opportunities and chances, Colorado has not just the depth, but the star power to match Edmonton. Edmonton's got McDavid and Draisaitl. And listen, I'm not saying Kane anymore. Kane has got like 14 goals in 13 games. They got the Hymans. Nuge found a way in. Colorado's got McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, Makar, Kadri, Burakovsky, Nichushkin. Oh yeah, and by the way, the guy that led that team in goals last night, his name is JT Compher. So it wasn't even Rantanen going off for a hattie. Makar had a goal and 2 assists. But it's their secondary scoring. That's going to be the problem. Because after Edmonton's first 2 lines, I don't feel a sense of urgency with guys like Warren Fogle or even Zach Cassian. Ryan McLeod scored yesterday, but it was just kind of, that was at the, like the 6-3 mark. Colorado had a game winner from Darren Helm, who we're going to talk about in a second here. I think defensively they're going to tighten up too. Now, I said this with the Calgary series, but Edmonton just had Calgary's number, and I don't know if they have Colorado's number. We will see, because at this point in the playoffs, it is not a matter of who finished where in the regular season. Now it is based on purely matchup. If a team is feeling themselves like the Oilers, or for some reason you've just got this confidence that you can't shake, there's a little logic. Let's not be unrealistic here. But we have seen 8 seeds come in. Like, at the beginning of the series, was everybody unanimously picking Edmonton to win over Calgary, let alone we beat them 4-1? Probably not. Maybe some people had them in 7. I thought Calgary was going to win that series. I thought defensively they had shown that they shut things down, but they completely collapsed. By the way, did anybody think the Rangers were going to go into Carolina Game 7 and beat them? I put money on Carolina to win. Rangers came out and dominated. Anybody think Tampa was going to sweep Florida? I thought Tampa would win, but sweep? You never know. So we'll see. But I'm very intrigued to see how Edmonton responds, because they responded well when they did this against Calgary. I think Colorado is a completely other dynamic. Also, due to the fact Darcy Kemper left that game due to injury after 3 goals, Pavel Francouz went in. Colorado likes Francouz, but he is not their number one. And when McDavid and Draisaitl out there, you need your number one. So I will be very intrigued to see what game 2 happens. That game goes tomorrow night. But let's talk about the Flames-Oilers series that just took place already. And of course, game 5 going overtime. And who else but Connor McDavid?
Game 5, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner for Connor McDavid!
There you have it. One of the greatest playoff runs we've seen through the first 2 series, McDavid and Draisaitl, McDavid ending it off the feed, and Calgary goes home. I was asking myself this question. Was it more of an Oilers win or Flames choke? You know, it's super funny too. In this, after the game, head coach Daryl Sutter from the Flames, when asked which team did the better team deserve to win, did the best team win the series? His quote response was, quote, the best player won the series. You know, I'm thinking about it more and more. And it came out afterwards that like 3 Flames players, including Chris Tanev, they were dealing with like gruesome injuries and they were playing through it. And kudos to those guys. I think the run that McDavid and Draisaitl are going on is something we're not going to see in a long time. I do not think that type of scoring is sustainable. Maybe I'm wrong, but Draisaitl had 17 points in 5 games in the playoffs. That's over 3 points a game. And he's hurt. You know, when last night McDavid had a goal and 2 assists, Draisaitl had a couple points. Maybe this is the new playoffs, right? But I don't know if I believe that. A good playoff series is when a series goes 7 games and a guy has like 9 or 10 points. That's a good series for a player in a playoff matchup. 17 is ridiculous. And they had a bunch of points, by the way, in round 1, too, against the Kings. But I think this is a lot more on the Flames collapsing. The Flames were totally dumbfounded. Even in game 1, when they were scoring at will on Mike Smith, And they were like, oh, we're good enough defensively to do this. And then Edmonton kept scoring and scoring, and Calgary had to win game one 9-6. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, the Flames scored 9. That's probably not happening again. And the Oilers scored 6. That might happen again. And it did. And they kept scoring. Jacob Markstrom against Jacob Markstrom was like a Vezina candidate this year. Put up stupid numbers in round one against the Stars, but the Stars aren't a very high scoring team. Markstrom's numbers against the Flame or against the Oilers, he has like a 4.2 goals against average this season against the Oilers and like an 830 save percentage. He's has no answer for McDavid or Draisaitl. And come playoff time, he still didn't. He had no patience on Deeks, Jukes, Bites. On the goal, the game-winning goal McDavid scored was a flubber of a shot. It was a flutter ball on net. He was leaning back. He was off balance. The dude did not look comfortable all series. Gaudreau and Tkachuk could not match McDavid Draisaitl, which is understandable. But the depth that the Flames claim they had, I heard nothing from Toffoli, Blake Coleman, who was a big signing for them, right? Lucic out, you know, body checked. He body checked Mike Smith, but that was about it. I mean, Hanifin and Anderson and Gabranson, Zadorov, they got absolutely worked by the Oilers. And the Oilers with this roll the dice, see what you get defensive core. And I'm not kidding. This is what their D core looks like. Darnell Nurse, love him. Could be a Team Canada Olympic player. Cody Ceci, not necessarily a top player, you'd think. Second pairing. Duncan Keith. Remember Duncan Keith, who everyone he dunked on when they traded for him? And Evan Bouchard, who I've watched. He's growing as a player. He was unbelievable in London. He's still getting there. I can see a mistake here and there, but he is NHL caliber. Will develop into a top right-hand shot defenseman. Brett Kulak, who they got from Montreal, who wasn't even in Montreal's top two pairings. And Tyson Barrie, who was an elite player and is now on the third pairing behind a rookie and Cody Ceci and 40-year-old Mike Smith. I'm telling you, when you get to this point in the playoffs, it is a toss-up. At this point, you're just going, we'll see. Mike Smith can either steal you a game completely or throw you one. And some games he manages to do a bit of both. Game 5, lets in the goal from 150 feet away and then makes a miraculous save, and then the Oilers go on to win. I don't have any. They are such a wild card. I have no idea what's going to happen to this team. But I will tell you this. It's fun to watch. I will say it's fun to watch. We're watching greatness. We get to watch two of the most talented teams, naturally gifted players, McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon, go at it. Kadri scored last night. I love it. I want more of this moving forward. It's unbelievable. And I guess we'll talk about Colorado getting there as well. They bounced the St. Louis Blues in 6 thanks to the heroics of, obviously, Darren Helm.
Maybe a last opportunity here in the third. Eric Johnson dishes the pass to the near side. Helm shoots! Scores! Can you believe it? 4.9 seconds left! And that might be the series clincher!
With seconds on the clock, Helm takes a clapper from the left hash mark sideboards and puts it underneath Ville Husso and sends the Avs on their way to the conference finals and, of course, the game one victory over the Oilers. I do want to quickly go back in this series. I think after everything that happened with Nazem Kadri outside of St. Louis fans, I think everybody was rooting for it. I think everybody was rooting for Colorado. And I think people also love the fact that after the racist remarks that Nazem Kadri received from some students who were called out, Blues fans, and it's not every Blues fan. And then he goes out and gets a hat trick next game and just silences the crowd in game four, I think was justified. And I just think, it was justice. And the hockey gods were clearly on Kadri's side. I watched him when he was a Leaf. I watched the mistakes he made, the immaturities that he had as a player. I watched him in the immaturities he had early on in Colorado. It wasn't just picture perfect when he was traded there. There were some issues. And this season, he finally put it all together. Now, I had a few Toronto fans being like, oh, I wish we still had Kadri. Look how great we'd be with Kadri. Kadri would not be doing this if he was still in Toronto. Why? He'd be the third line center. He had the opportunity this season because Mikko Rantanen got injured. Gabriel Landeskog was injured. Nathan MacKinnon was injured for a bit. Nazem Kadri, in that time, stepped up and produced his most effective and productive season so far in his NHL career. He would not have gotten the opportunity to do that in Toronto. Now, some could argue, well, you'd move a guy to the wing, make Kadri your second line center, or move one of your guys down to the third line center. It wasn't going to happen. Who was going to play on your third line center? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, it wasn't happening, and there's just a string of things that happened that wouldn't have happened had Kadri stayed. This was a perfect storm. It was a perfect place for him to go. He finally flourished, and he has really matured as a player. And this season, he is putting it all together. And I couldn't be happier for him. He's going to get paid. Like, I'm talking in the $8 million range, maybe more. You don't think so? He's made $4.5 million in this bridge deal he signed in Toronto. He is going to get upwards of, okay, let's go somewhere between 7.5 to 8. If Brock Besser is talking about getting around $7 million, Brock Besser had less than 50 points this season. He scored more than 20 goals 3 separate times, but Kadri hit 30 this year. Kadri's also a center. Besser's a winger. Kadri will most certainly get around or more than $8 million this season. For St. Louis fans, I heard a lot of people talking about them. They are a well-run organization. They're a well-run team. They will be competitive once again. Apparently, David Perron wants to stay there. Binnington kind of returned to form a little bit. I think Ville Husso is gone as your backup. That's fine, though. The core is there. Everything's there. I expect a couple different moves to be made, but for the most part, Ryan O'Reilly's still there. Tarasenko apparently wants to stay. Perron wants to an extension. He wants to stay there as well. I kind of heard that from Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts, but they played about as well as they could possibly play, and I think they played to their style, what they thought would have given them the best chance to beat Colorado. Colorado's just a better team. Colorado has also been has come up empty-handed on a few different occasions due to injury or lack of experience, and I think they're finally putting it together because this is the year, because after this year, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford Kadri. They got to worry about re-signing Kemper, but he's hurt, so they don't know anymore. In a couple of years, MacKinnon's deal is coming up, and they got to sign him, but Colorado just happened to be the better team, and St. Louis, eventually you got to go through them, and Colorado was just a little bit too much for them. All right, and the final take here before we leave is, listen, for everybody who wants to see McDavid in every round, I get it. I get it. He's the best player. He's electrifying. Him and Draisaitl are doing things that we haven't seen in, what, 40 years? Since the 80s? The amount of scoring that's going on? But I want my Stanley Cup Finals to feature the two best teams. And I think people are overlooking the dream matchup of Colorado-Tampa finals. That's the drill. That's my dream matchup. If Edmonton finds a way to beat Colorado by outscoring them, great. Like you beat the team that I think would have been better. But let me just put this last year. Everybody loved the run Montreal was on last year. Right? They beat Toronto, Winnipeg, then they beat Vegas. And everybody wanted Vegas-Tampa final. But Montreal won. Everyone was like, yeah, it's a way better story. And then Tampa wiped the floor with them 4-1. I think if the Oilers and or Rangers somehow make it through, they will, if one of those teams wins, I think one of Tampa or Colorado will be their opponent. If it's an Oilers-Rangers final, then I don't know. Throw all the cards out the window because I don't know anything. But I think if the Rangers go to the final against Colorado, I think they're going to get wiped. And I think if the Oilers go to the final against Tampa, I think they'll get wiped. If there is a team that can shut you down, and they have already shown it in these playoffs alone, it's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, they were made almost human by Toronto, but found a way to close it out in Game 7 and only gave up a goal. They limited the highest scoring team in the salary cap era, Florida Panthers, to 3 goals in 4 games. They have done this for the last 2 seasons. They will shut down. They are just a different animal. They shut down whoever they play. Yeah, but have you seen what Drysdale did? The Kings are not Tampa. Calgary is not Tampa. I think Colorado-Tampa Bay gives you the 2 best teams from each conference and gives you a much better finals matchup. Right? Haven't the last 2 finals kind of sucked? Wasn't it Tampa-Dallas? Didn't Tampa win in like 5? Tampa-Montreal? Tampa won in 5? Give me a Stanley Cup finals that goes 6 games. 7 games would be great. I just don't think it happens with Edmonton. And listen, I have been wrong on them for 2 rounds now. But Colorado's already up 1-0. I know Calgary was too, but Colorado was not Calgary. They are a better team. They have better skill players. Yes, better than Gaudreau and Tkachuk. MacKinnon is better than both those players. I would argue Rantanen is better than both those players. And then you've got the depth to match with Kadri and Burakovsky and youngsters like Newhook and Makar. I think the better matchup is Colorado-Tampa. That's my dream matchup. It may not be what everybody wants to see when they see McDavid going through, but that's my dream Stanley Cup matchup. All right, that does it here today. Thank you for listening as always. Make sure you follow along Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Also, go check out the Hockey Writers Vancouver Canucks. I wrote a couple articles quickly. People are very keen to point out very minor little mistakes. Be nice online. Not that I care. They're very minuscule things, but just, I don't know, be nice. Don't make it your life's mission to try and correct people on the internet. Everybody makes mistakes. It happens to literally all of us. At some point, everyone will make a mistake today. Nevertheless, latest piece is out. It has been corrected. Hockey Writers Vancouver Canucks, their latest signing. Also going to be writing a piece on what they plan on doing in free agency. And yeah, follow along Instagram and Twitter, ST Hockey Podcast. I am off to a fishing trip this weekend, so go enjoy. And I'll see you next Tuesday. I'll be good to go again for another episode. But until then, enjoy. That's a wrap.